Chapter 4. Lay Members as Pioneers. Waste Places in the Vineyard. In humble dependence upon God, families are to settle in the waste places of His vineyard. Consecrated men and women are needed to stand as fruit-bearing trees of righteousness in the desert places of the earth. As the reward of their self-sacrificing efforts to sow the seeds of truth, they will reap a rich harvest. As they visit family after family, opening the scriptures to those in spiritual darkness, many hearts will be touched. In fields where the conditions are so objectionable and disheartening that many workers refuse to go to them, most remarkable changes for the better may be brought about by the efforts of self-sacrificing lay members. These humble workers will accomplish much because they put forth patient, persevering effort, not relying upon human power, but upon God, who gives them His favor. The amount of good that these workers accomplish will never be known in this world. Testimonies for the Church 7:22-23. A Call from a Mission Field, written from Australia. To those who are looking for a place where they may work in the Lord's vineyard, we say, come over and help us. Come prepared to practice self-denial, determined that you will not fail nor be discouraged. We cannot pay your passage to this country, nor can we give you large wages. We cannot carry you financially or spiritually. But if you will come to do a work for the Master, if you are willing to visit and labor for souls where they are, come, and we will cooperate with you as long as you will cooperate with God. This cry now goes up from many fields. Room for all. There is room in the work of God for all who are filled with the spirit of self-sacrifice. We have a solemn work before us. God is calling for men and women who are willing to experience travail of soul, men and women who are consecrated to His work. We need in this country men who have a solid experience in the things of God, who, when they encounter difficulties, will hold firmly to the work, saying, "We will not fail nor be discouraged." We want men who will strengthen and build up the work, not tear down and seek to destroy that which others are trying to do. We need men and women whom God can work, the fallow ground of whose hearts has been broken up. Giving part-time to neighborhood ministry. Now I urge that more attention be given to eternal realities. Let every soul be aroused and show that he appreciates the value of souls for whom Christ died. Let everyone inquire, what can I do to let the light shine forth to others? Where is the missionary spirit? Where are those who will come to this part of the world and establish themselves in localities where they can lift the standard of truth, working in a quiet way? Although they may not be able to give their whole time to the work, they can give a portion. They can exert a good and saving influence, and God will work through them. Our field is the world, and we may all find ample room in which to work. But there is a great lack of money in the treasury, and if none shall engage in the work but men who are paid wages, what will become of the multitudes that are in darkness? Let all pray that the Lord will teach them how to use His gifts to do their work with fidelity. Laymen needed in new fields. I wish there were men and women who could appreciate the situation and would decide to move to these countries, Australia and New Zealand. Helpers are needed who have some means, who can engage in some employment and sustain themselves and not draw upon the conference for their support. With genuine faith in the message of truth, such workers could settle in our cities as missionaries, letting their light shine forth to others. It is not ordained ministers upon whom we must depend for this work, but laymen who love and fear God, and who feel the burden for the salvation of souls. They can be agents and co-workers with divine providence in seeking to save the lost. We want those who have sanctified energy, moral, and intellectual. Let these put to use the talents they have, and by exercise they will grow. It cannot be otherwise if they abide in Christ. In His companionship, they will be constantly growing in wisdom. Christ says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." With Christ by your side, as your teacher and leader, you can do all things. There are many who have for years been rejoicing in the light of truth. Let them now practice the lessons they have learned. They have the Word of God, and the precious experience. Let them use the knowledge to a purpose. In all humility of mind, seek to learn ways and methods of reaching those who are still in error and darkness. God calls. Shall we hear His voice? God calls upon the lay members of His church to enter the field and do what they can by individual effort. All are to work for perishing souls, laying hold by faith upon the power of faith to work with them. Moments are precious. Learning by experience. Every one must be a learner, not a graduate. He must engage in the work with a humble heart, wholly dependent upon God. He may make mistakes, but errors in judgment will be corrected by education. Defeats may be turned to victories. As he advances, he can learn wisdom through failure, caution from imprudence. But learn, not let go. Keep the dear Savior by your side. Pray always. Ask counsel of Jesus. There are thousands who, if they would give themselves to the Lord without selfish reservation, might go with their families into new regions where the truth is not known and establish themselves as citizens, and then watch for souls as they that must give an account. They might speak to the young, telling them of the love of Jesus. They could visit families, and in a pleasant manner introduce some excellent reading from our papers or publications. Let these silent messengers speak to them, and when the opportunities seem to be favorable, suggest a season of prayer and the reading of the Bible. Angels of God will open ways for all such workers. They may become channels of light. Let them be constantly learning, constantly receiving, and constantly giving. Hundreds of humble workers needed. What is needed, then, is to set at work scores, yes, hundreds, who now have their light hidden under a bushel or under a bed. There are souls who are willing to make any move for Christ's sake, but they think they are not qualified to do the sacred work of God. They have accepted the truth and rejoice in it, but they have not come to the point to cry, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." They do not seek to make terms with the Lord. If they are convinced that He calls them, they will make any and every sacrifice for the truth's sake. It is just such ones as these who are little in their own eyes that the Lord chooses to use in the work of saving souls. They are not required to preach doctrinal discourses, but by personal effort they can reach hearts and win them for Christ and the truth. Willing to sacrifice. Let such workers go into cities or other localities where the truth has not been introduced, or where it was presented years ago and the work has not been followed up. There are many places in cities and villages where these who have the light should set up the standard. True, it will require self-denial to leave the churches where they have assembled to worship God. But if Jesus, the precious Savior, had studied His own pleasure and convenience, as many who profess to be His followers do today, He would never have left the mansions of bliss, His heavenly home, and come to our world, all seared and marred with the curse. Those who love God supremely and their fellow men as themselves will be ready to every good word and work. If they understand that the voice of God says, "Go," they do not stop to confer with flesh and blood, or allow their temporal, personal interest to block the way. They reason that Jesus gave Himself to save their souls from ruin, and although they think it possible for them to do but little, they will do that heartily as to the Lord. They first give themselves, and they call not anything their own which they possess, whether it be aptitude, skill in any direction, learning, position, wealth, or influence. They regard themselves as stewards of the manifold grace of God and servants for Christ's sake. It is such men and women that are Christ's witnesses. Their hearts throb in unison with His. Their ears are quick to hear every Macedonian cry. Angels to aid us. Nothing is apparently more helpless, yet really more invincible, than the soul that feels its nothingness and relies wholly on the merits of the Savior. God would send every angel in heaven to the aid of such an one, rather than allow him to be overcome. Testimonies for the Church 7:17. A Call from the South. In the South, there is much that could be done by lay members of the Church, persons of limited education. There are men, women, and children who need to be taught to read. These poor souls are starving for a knowledge of God. Our people in the South are not to wait for eloquent preachers, talented men. They are to take up the work which the Lord places before them and do their best. He will accept and work through humble, earnest men and women, even though they may not be eloquent or highly educated. My brethren and sisters, devise wise plans for labor and go forward, trusting in the Lord. Do not indulge the feeling that you are capable and keen-sighted. Begin and continue in humility. Be a living exposition of the truth. Make the Word of God the man of your counsel. Then the truth will go with power, and souls will be converted. Let Sabbath-keeping families move to the South and live out the truth before those who know it not. These families can be a help to one another, but let them be careful to do nothing that will hedge up their way. Christian help work needed. Let them do Christian help work, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. This will have a far stronger influence for good than the preaching of sermons. Deeds as well as words of sympathy are needed. Christ prefaced the giving of his message by deeds of love and benevolence. Let these workers go from house to house, helping where help is needed, and, as opportunity offers, telling the story of the cross. Christ is to be their text. They need not dwell upon doctrinal subjects. Let them speak of the work and sacrifice of Christ. Let them hold up his righteousness, in their lives revealing his purity. The true missionary must be armed with the mind of Christ. His heart must be filled with Christ-like love, and he must be true and steadfast to principle. Establish schools. In many places, schools should be established, and those who are tender and sympathetic, who, like the Savior, are touched by the sight of woe and suffering, should teach old and young. Let the Word of God be taught in a way that will enable all to understand it. Let the pupils be encouraged to study the lessons of Christ. This will do more to enlarge the mind and strengthen the intellect than any other study. Nothing gives such vigor to the faculties as contact with the Word of God. Testimonies for the Church 7, 227, 228. The kind of education to be given. Where are the families who will become missionaries and who will engage in labor in this field? Where are the men who have means and experience so that they can go forth to these people and work for them just where they are? There are men who can educate them in agricultural lines, who can teach them to sow seed and plant orchards. There are others who can teach them to read and can give them an object lesson from their own life and example. Show them what you yourself can do to gain a livelihood, and it will be an education to them. The Southern Work, 23-24. Encourage those who are willing to work. Prepare workers to go out in the highways and hedges. We need wise nurserymen who will transplant trees to different localities and give them advantages that they may grow. Rally workers who possess true missionary zeal and let them go forth to diffuse light and knowledge far and near. Let them take the living principles of health reform into the communities that to a large degree are ignorant of these principles. There should be no delay in this work. Workers should be chosen who are fully consecrated and who understand the sacredness and importance of the work. Do not send those who are not qualified in these respects. We want men who will push the triumphs of the cross, men who will persevere under discouragements and privations, men who will have the zeal and resolution and faith that are indispensable in the missionary field. And to those who do not engage personally in the work, I would say, do not hinder those who are willing to work, but give them your encouragement and support. After a time, as the work advances, schools will be established in many cities where workers can be quickly educated and trained for service. Not for worldly advantage. The lay members of our churches can accomplish a work which, as yet, they have scarcely begun. None should move into new places merely for the sake of worldly advantage, but where there is an opening to obtain a livelihood, let families that are well grounded in the truth enter, one or two families in a place, to work as missionaries. They should feel a love for souls, a burden of labor for them, and should make it a study how to bring them into the truth. They can distribute our publications, hold meetings in their homes, become acquainted with their neighbors, and invite them to come to these meetings. Thus, they can let their light shine in good works. Weeping, praying, laboring. Let the workers stand alone in God, weeping, praying, laboring for the salvation of their fellow men. Remember that you are running a race, striving for a crown of immortality. While so many love the praise of men more than the favor of God, let it be yours to labor in humility. Learn to exercise faith in presenting your neighbors before the throne of grace and pleading with God to touch their hearts. In this way, effectual missionary work may be done. Some may be reached who would not listen to a minister or a coal porter, and those who thus labor in new places will learn the best ways of approaching the people and can prepare the way for other laborers. Testimonies for the Church 8, 245. Without needed facilities. Those who are endeavoring to build up the work in new territory will often find themselves in great need of better facilities. Their work will seem to be hindered for lack of these facilities, but let them not lose their faith and courage. Often they are obliged to go to the limit of their resources. At times it may seem as if they could advance no farther. But if they pray and work in faith, God will answer their petitions, sending them means for the advancement of the work. Difficulties will arise. They will wonder how they are going to accomplish what must be done. At times the future will look very dark. But let the workers bring to God the promises He has made and thank Him for what He has done. Then the way will open before them, and they will be strengthened for the duty of the hour. Gospel Workers, 267-268. Entire self-support, sometimes impossible. Calls for workers are coming from all parts of the world. Means are called for to open new fields. Laborers need to be supported in many fields where it is impossible for them to be wholly self-supporting. While the needs of the world are making such demands upon us, our sanitariums will not be honoring God if they indulge in any form of extravagance. They must work in Christ's lines. The Lord will prepare the way. Angels who minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation are saying to every true saint, "There is work for you to do. Go, stand, and speak to the people the words of this life." If those addressed would obey this injunction, the Lord would prepare the way before them, putting them in possession of means whereby they could go.